On the line with us, Tom Riello's joining the show, enjoying his vacation. How are you today, Tom?
I'm doing well as the calendar turns to July 1. Can you believe it?
Oh, yeah.
Seems like it was just there last week.
Wednesday.
It seems like it was a night ago. It's crazy.
Yeah, I know. We only get you one day a year here when you venture down in the summer, but we enjoy it and always enjoy your company coming in studio.
Well, it is so much fun. It is so much fun just being in studio. The radio, you're being on the phone, that's fine. But man, the studio is just, there's something about radio. And I think this is something that people who've done it, people who do both radio and TV, they will say to you 1,000 times out of 1,000, they actually love the radio more because it's more intimate. There's just an intimacy with the audience that television and YouTube and the visual media just is not able to provide. It's just not the same thing. And so there's just something about being in a studio and laughing and eating cannoli and drinking coffee and hoping that you don't spill coffee on the board so Mike goes crazy.
Yes.
Mike, what are you doing? But it was fun.
Oh, good. You are welcome anytime. But you're back wearing your other hat this week where you kind of bring us faith and culture. Here's a faith thing that gets argued in culture. I mean, I don't know, Tom, why we just can't put a pin in this because it seems like this resurfaces as kind of the top one or two issues or divisions or disagreements between Protestants and Catholics, and that is sola scriptura. And I feel like we just rehash the same couple talking points, and I don't know that we ever move the needle in understanding the basis for the position of Catholicism, which is you've got tradition of the word in scripture and just sacred tradition that build the foundation of the Catholic faith. And I don't know, we can discuss it, but it seems like that's all we ever do. And sometimes discuss at each other rather than talking to each other. So how do you find that?
Well, you know, there's two great words, as Father Driscoll always loves to talk about with the Second Vatican Council, resourcement and aggiornamento. And resourcement referred to going back to the sources. And aggiornamento means updating. And you're 100% right. Let me give you a concrete example. Once a month here in Montgomery, when I first got here, one of the local talk radio stations used to have me, Father Dean, and Father Driscoll on once a month. So we'd go in and we would take calls for almost 2 hours. And so this guy, Kevin, great guy. He's now since retired. But anyway, it was the local talk radio that had Limbaugh and all that stuff on. So it was the big kahuna here in the capital of dreams. You know, the governor would be on it and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So it had a pretty good listening audience. And every month, you know, we would laugh because we would get the same questions. And over the 4 or 5 years, there was just a handful of questions. And one of them would always be something about why, you know, Jesus says, call no man on earth father. And, you're over here, you know, you're calling both these guys Father Driscoll and Father Dean, you know. You know, you're not keeping the Bible. And it would get tedious, right? Because it's, these are the same questions. But that's that aggiornamento, right? People are always coming new to these things. And so the reason why apologetics is necessary is the issues that are in play, they really don't change.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always a need to update. There's always a need. So there's always somebody new that's coming along to the debate. They haven't been part of it. You know, we've answered it a million times. Todd's answered it. You've answered it. We've all answered it. But then this other person comes, they haven't heard the answer. Or, and I think this is another thing that we can think about, you hear something hundreds and hundreds of times and you never heard it.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden, that next time, you hear it and a whole new world opens up. A real story, Dr. Ken Howell, who works with the Coming Home Network on EWTN and has worked with Protestant pastors becoming Catholic and seminary professors, somebody that I knew, got to meet over 21 years ago. He had taught New Testament writings for literally almost 2 decades in seminary, at the seminary level, at Reformed Theological Seminary in Jackson. two PhDs, brilliant man, okay? All of a sudden, as he was preparing for one of his classes one day, he was reading out of the Greek from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And all of a sudden, he got hit. It was like a thunderbolt. And it was so bad, he actually had to cancel class that day. He canceled class that day. You know why?
Why?
Because it had hit him that in St. Paul's writing to Timothy, it says, the church, the pillar and ground of the truth. Mm-hmm. Now, he had read that verse 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, it hit him. It hit him so bad that about a year and a half later, much to the great shock and horror of his family, he resigned both his pastorate and his professorship and went to go work as a janitor because it led him into the Catholic Church. Now he's no longer working as a janitor, but that's why it's always important to kind of keep these things current. And so basically here's the gist of it. If you're a Catholic, there's three basic points just to know about Sola Scriptura. So we could argue all day about the etymology of this word, and we get bogged down, and it gets confusing. But it really comes down to this, right? It's just simply not the case that the Bible teaches that the Bible alone is the authority. It just doesn't. There's nowhere that you will read in the Bible that it says the Bible alone is our authority. In fact, the Bible suggests otherwise. For example, 2 Thessalonians 2:15, St. Paul says very clearly that whether it's in writing, what I wrote to you in writing, or by word of mouth, hold fast to the traditions that I've passed on to you. And so Paul there is referring to the fact that things that he have written, things, you know, these letters that we read at Mass sometimes, you know, St. Paul's second letter to Thessalonians, I wrote that to you. That's authoritative. But so are the words I said to you in person. Oral tradition. So those are both authoritative. So that's the first thing to keep in mind. It's not taught in the Bible. The second thing is that this concept of the Bible alone cannot account for why there's a thing called the Bible in the first place. So for example, if I asked you, hey, what book is in the Bible? You know, well, is this book in the Bible? Is that book in the Bible? Or for example, tell me the four gospel writers and people, Catholic, non-Catholic, they'll rattle off Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, how do you know that? How do you know that? You only know that because of tradition. You don't know it from the original documents of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Most scholars speculate that those were not necessarily part of the original text. Tradition tells us, most definitely. Now, there are some manuscripts that suggest that it does say kata Matthane, kata Marcos. It does. I mean, there are some of those. But most scholars speculate that no, that's not part of the original. And so we know that. And we say Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in canonical order because that's how the church understood it. Again, we don't necessarily know what order they were written in. I mean, we have good reasons to believe that it's written in that order. But again, the non-Catholic is assuming so many things there that they don't even realize. Mm-hmm. There's no table of contents that's inspired. The table of contents that's in your Bible was not inspired. That was something that was put together because the church in its councils, local and ecumenical, determined that these books and these books alone are what we call canon or scripture. And then thirdly, it just simply doesn't work. I learned that very profoundly as a pastor when some people in my own church would have certain views about certain things and others would have certain views about certain things and trying to navigate that and both basing their positions on the Bible alone. So three basic things there. One, it's just not taught in the Bible. Two, it can't account for itself. And three, at the end of the day, it just does not work. So I think those are things to keep in mind with the Bible alone position.
It seems to me too, and this may be going down a side path here, but the Bible also never speaks about things that were unknown to them. I'm thinking particularly because it's so recent, the encyclical on AI technology and, you know, it's more than that, people, but it's about human flourishing. And so the church, because it has deep traditions in scholarly analysis, not only of the Bible, but through our traditions, is able to address these kinds of issues that come forth in our modern culture that, you know, biblically, you know, they didn't even know what AI was, probably couldn't wrap their heads around it and stuff. But because of the richness and depth of the Catholic Church, we're able to apply our basic principles we learn in the Bible and through sacred tradition to actually kind of have conversations in the contemporary sphere that might be able to be helpful in people as they're trying to navigate it, this a brave new world, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you nailed it. You nailed it, Ellen. You're 100% right. Mm-hmm. And folks, just let's break that down, what Ellen is saying there, right? Because the Catholic Church is not married to an idea that it's only in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And let's be fair to our Orthodox brethren. They would agree with us on this, right? Mm-hmm. So the Orthodox and Catholic position, in many ways, because of the cultural issues that we face, and you're right, our Lord doesn't talk about AI. He doesn't talk about social media, right? Because those things were not present back in first century Judaism. And so, but because of our understanding, we have a developed way to approach these things, and not in a kind of make it up as you go along kind of way, mm-hmm. but in a really robust, deep, reflective, contemplative manner. You know, I mean, you like we just brought up the encyclical, which we talked about, and we've had others talk about it. Father Tad, mm-hmm. what Father Tad does mm-hmm. with the National Catholic Bioethics Center, in many ways, why do you think it's predominantly Catholics who are involved in those fields from the religious perspective? Mm-hmm. Because we have a tradition that's capable of, if you will, calling audibles, because we're not making it up as we go along. Mm-hmm. And when you're stuck to the Bible alone, the Bible alone, the Bible alone, you soon discover that the Bible alone doesn't have a lot to say about some of the contemporary issues that we're facing.
To be fair, the Southern Baptists did finally, in the past year or two, come out against IVF and said that this is, you know, I don't know if they use the same wording we use, intrinsically evil, to mm-hmm. kill unborn children still in the embryonic stage to get one living child. So,
right.
But it took them a lot of interior discussions to get to that point in the 2020s where the Catholic Church, right from the get-go, was like, this is not honoring God in an acceptable way to become godlike here almost.
You know, you mentioned the IVF thing. Mm-hmm. Go back to the 70s. People have a hard time processing this. Mm-hmm. In the late 60s into the 70s, as the whole issue in the debate about abortion starts raging in the country, mm-hmm. the reason why it was only the Catholic Church that was out there was because many of the evangelical groups were silent on the issue because they did not have a conception of when life begins, mm-hmm. the conception. Yes, I did that on purpose, okay? They did not conceive of, yes, I did that again on purpose, mm-hmm. in their mind as to when life began, because the Bible, well, it seemed like it was silent on the matter. Mm-hmm. And so you didn't have a lot of discussion. Could you imagine if in 1971, 1972, in the lead up to Roe, if the evangelical world was as united as it would eventually become mm-hmm. with the Catholic world 10 years later, maybe we never have to deal with Roe v. Wade, right, on mm-hmm. the front end.
Yeah.
But that goes back to that point, though, that whenever our non-Catholic friends do bring up a contemporary moral issue, a lot of times it really is kind of an ad hoc kind of thing. This group says that, but this group says something contrary. But as Catholics, we have the confidence to know that we have a church that can speak to us about these contemporary issues because we have that tradition, both in sacred scripture and in the apostolic tradition that's been handed down through time.
Amen. Tom Riello, bringing it strong here, well, even while you're on vacation. You have a great day.
That's right. We don't let up.
No, here you go.
Have a great day, everybody.
All right. We'll see ya.
All right.
Enjoy. Bye.